deepest, darkest crypts, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lying deep inside your subconscious. It's time for a big, scary show.
This is Tommy Peach from Face Off Season 3. You are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Roy Woolley from Face Off and Netherworld Haunted House. This is a big shout out to The Big Scary Show.
Hey everybody, this is Wicked Wendy, special correspondent and makeup goddess of The Big Scary Show. Just wanted to wish you all a very scary Halloween.
Hi, this is Patricia Tallman from Babylon 5, Night of the Living Dead, Army of Darkness, and other sundry shows like that. I'm calling out to you from The Big Scary Show.
Hey, it's Tater, just wishing everybody that listens to this crappy show a good old happy Halloween.
Hey everybody, this is Dog Soldier, wishing everybody a howling Halloween this Halloween season.
You're listening to The Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
Oh, wow. I think I got some on me after that one. Well, here I am sitting at the Thanksgiving Day table, and I've just gorged myself on a couple of turkey breasts. No funny comments from the peanut gallery. And you know what? We're going to bring you another big scary show. And on this post-Halloween season, post-Thanksgiving show, we've got some interviews. Badger took a trip down to Netherworld and spoke with Roy Woolley, who's been on the show before, and a new makeup artist that we haven't talked to yet, but who has been on Face Off, Tommy Peach, both of them working at Netherworld this season. During the Round Table of Terror, which is what my dining room table looks like right now after Thanksgiving, we're going to talk about the end of the Halloween season. A little bittersweet, always is. You know, we all get so hyped up for Halloween, and then we blink an eye and it's gone, and we've got to get ready for next year. So we'll be talking with the four ghosts and our special correspondents, Wicked Wendy and Eric Veister, about some of the highlights and lowlights of the season and what we can look forward to next year. And we'll pay homage to Halloween season 2014. Storm comes back and rants on in a haunt minute. Myself, I'm going to talk about some new fears with the Christmas season coming up. And the Hauntstrumentalist Jerry Vane will be spinning the spooky tunes as he always does. All of this and so much more, only on the big, scary show. Transworld's Halloween In Attraction Show returns to the America Center in St. Louis, Missouri, March 19th through 22nd, 2015. The Transworld Halloween In Attraction Show is the only industry trade show of its kind in the world. There is no other show that has as many exhibitors and industry-related products. For the past 19 years, Transworld's annual Halloween and Attraction Show has created the marketplace for the haunted house industry. This show is a must-attend event. If you are thinking about opening or currently operate a haunt, corn maze, farm, pumpkin patch, paintball field, family fun center, amusement park, zoo, aquarium, Halloween retail store, or anything Halloween related, we have everything you need to make your Halloween season a success. Each year, the show continues to grow with new exhibitors and new product and more buyers on the show floor. The Halloween and Attraction Show combines the products and knowledge of over 300 exhibitors that you need to see this March. See you at the Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show.
Baron Miseraka, as we embrace on the Big Scary Show.
Such a chill, the cool moonlight. It beams upon your naked flesh around the light. I've got blood to spill, my time is tight. I'm coming in for the kill.
Deadline News is very proudly sponsored by Haunt X Haunters Retreat, happening April 30th through May 3rd, 2015, at the Circus Convention Center in the biggest little city in the world, Reno, Nevada. For more information, visit www.hauntx.com. ¶¶ Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. We start out with an update on the Krampus Ball in Los Angeles. On December 6th, the Los Angeles Krampus Ball will be returning to the same lodge-style venue in Highland Park. With 2013's madness in mind, early online ticket purchases are strongly advised, as are comfortable Krampus-like couture. We also suggest you arrive early to allow yourself some extra moments to savor the surroundings, exchange pleasantries with other guests turned out in their Yuletide best, snack on Pfeffernuis in the Edwardian parlor, and snap some pictures of still fresh costumes. Our show will once again be hosted by Festmaster Hans of Alpine Village. The ball guests taking part in the fundraising raffle for Krampus LA will have a chance to win prizes generously supplied by German businesses, including the Red Lion Tavern and Alpine Village, as well as Krampus books and merchandising from Last Gasp Publishing, and horror and Halloween prizes from Scare LA and the Halloween Club, and urban adventure passes from Esoteric and the Obscura Society. Also up for grabs, a personal visit from Krampus. Last year's ball sold out early, so get your advance tickets now. The Krampus Ball takes place Saturday, December 6th. Doors open at 7, and the show's from 8 to 11 p.m. at the Highland Park E-Bell Club, 131 South Avenue 57 in Los Angeles. For more information, visit KrampusLosAngeles.com. We have this update from the Horror Hound Weekend in Cincinnati, Ohio. Josh McDermott, who portrays Dr. Eugene Porter on AMC's The Walking Dead, has been added to the Horror Hound Weekend Cincinnati guest lineup, set to take place over the weekend of March 20th through the 22nd, 2015, at the Sharonville Convention Center in Cincinnati, Ohio. You can check out the ever-growing guest list, as well as pre-order your tickets for Horror Hound Weekend today by visiting horrorhoundweekend.com. We have this news on an event happening at Transworld. Haunters Invade Hooters is a fun annual gathering of haunters at Transworld's Haunt Show in St. Louis. Haunters Invade Hooters is 110% free to join and an awesome way to network, meet new haunters, drink some beers, and have a great time. Each year this event has seemed to grow more and more, starting with a small group of 10 and now hitting 60 to 70 and continues to grow. Each year they meet at the Renaissance Grand Lobby at 5:30 p.m. and head over together. Latecomers are always welcome as well, and the event usually wraps up around 9. Join us this year for our annual gathering at the Transworld Haunt Show, Haunters Invade Hooters. We'll see you all in St. Louis. For more information, search for Haunters Invade Hooters on Facebook. We have this news from the Scaratorium Haunted Attraction in Columbus, Ohio. The Scaratorium will open in December for a special Horror Days event, December 26th, 27th, and 28th. On-site tickets are available for purchase at the box office 1/2 hour before the attraction opens. Online ticket sales are stopped at 7 p.m. on each day of the show. Experience an unforgettable fear with two indoor attractions at the Scaratorium featuring the Northland Asylum and Rip's Funhouse in 3D. The Scare Store offers souvenir items, private party room by reservation, and makeup artistry by appointment. For more information, visit www.scaratorium.com. We have this news from the Land of Nightmares Scream Park in Statesville, North Carolina. It's that time of year again. Land of Nightmares Scream Park transforms from a land of screams to a land of Christmas cheer. Please help us raise funds so we can transform our Scream Park into a theme park of holiday cheer. Wear your best holiday costume and come join us for our 5K run to help raise funds for this amazing event. To register, please email your contact info to darkwoodsattraction@yahoo.com to get started. And for more info, including dates and times, go to facebook.com/landofnightmaresscreampark. We have this news from the Dark Hour Haunted House in Plano, Texas. Give the gift of fear all year. Halloween may be over, but the thrills don't go away. There are still 16 nights of spectacular haunting from December to July. 4 nights of Wreck the Halls, and 2 nights each of Love is Blind, St. Paddy's Sleigh Weekend, Spring Fever, Walpurgis Knot, Summer Spirits, and Dog Days of Summer. If you see each of the off-season shows just one time, the pass pays for itself. Still a $266 savings. Scream loud and scream often. For more information on this great deal, visit DarkHourHauntedHouse.com. And finally, we have this cool news from the Viva Las Vegas Wedding Chapel in Las Vegas, Nevada. If a traditional wedding isn't quite right for you, themed Las Vegas weddings are a favorite option for brides and grooms. Viva Las Vegas Wedding Chapel specializes in a wide variety of creative alternatives, from a favorite movie or television theme to incredible musical tributes with impersonators serving as ministers. We can help you arrange the Las Vegas wedding of your dreams, and yes, we take your special request seriously. And now, you can have your very own Alice Cooper-themed wedding. The Alice Cooper-themed wedding package includes an Alice Cooper impersonator singing two songs, way cool music and decor, six-rose wedding bouquet for the bride and matching boutonniere for the groom, 10 candid wedding ceremony prints, a video of the wedding ceremony, names and lights on the marquee, courtesy round-trip limousine service from any hotel on the Strip or downtown, chapel fee, plus a personal wedding coordinator. For more information, visit VivaLasVegasWeddings.com. Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@BigScaryShow.com and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here, live down in Atlanta, GA, my favorite haunted house, as is well-documented, Netherworld. Getting ready to go play in a parking lot and be all real scary and everything, although by the time this airs, that will all be over. But you can't go to Netherworld without seeing all the great costumes and, of course, the great makeup. One of the famous makeup artists they have here. They got a whole bunch of just extremely talented ones. One that's kind of maybe a little bit more well-known than others. You've heard him on this show before. You've seen him on TV. Mr. Roy Woolley. How you doing, Roy?
Doing good, Drew. How about you?
Oh, and I can't complain. It's always good to come down to Netherworld and play in the parking lot and, you know, arguably the best haunted house in the world, according to, like, everybody and all that. And I know you've got a big part of it by making the actors out here just as terrifying as they can be.
Yeah, you know, we've been here. This is actually my 17th year at Netherworld,
and they've only been around 18, so that's 18. A long time.
Yeah, it sure is. And you know, we've created the makeup department here that, you know, we try to set a bar, and I think we've done it this year. We've actually outdone ourselves on our makeups this year. We got a fantastic team. They've done a great job. And I'm just really happy with the way that everybody's performed this year.
The thing that I find just fascinating and unbelievable is that you change your themes out here every year. Pretty much 100% of the haunt is different every year. This year it was a season of the witch for the main haunt, so I'm assuming you had lots of witches, you know, watching everybody get in costume. I saw lots of boils and warts and all that kind of cool stuff. Do you guys have any input as far as makeup designs and things, or do they just announce the theme and they just leave it up to you to decide how you're going to work with the actors?
Really, they pretty much just give us a theme. Then I go back and, you know, design the makeups, and me and a couple other artists, you know, we put our ideas out there, and, you know, then we just come up with the witches. I mean, like, this year we have gone through so many noses. We go through probably about 14 or 15 noses a night.
You know, that's a sentence I never thought I would ever hear. We go through about 15 noses a night. But yeah, I did see quite a few of those, and assorting other stereotypical quote-unquote witch things.
Yeah, we're actually doing a lot of the prose transfers this year for our boils and our cuts and things like that. So it's really brought the quality of the makeup and the speed. I mean, we're able to do a lot better makeups a lot faster this year.
How has the general public, when they've come through, responded? I'm sure lots of screaming and lots of violently ejected bodily fluids and things.
Oh, yes, as always. I mean, you know, people just love it here. I mean, we always, the show here is always just so incredible, and we have great actors, you know. I mean, just we have a great support staff. It's just fantastic.
Going back to, you know, you mentioned Face Off, you know, big popular guy, you know, fan favorite, et cetera, been on there on two seasons. Season's ended for this year. New one will start back up, I believe, in January. Do you watch the show now, or do you, you know, keep up with it, or keep up with some of the ex-contenders and contestants?
I sure do. Actually, I just finished watching the finale last night. I was a couple days late because of the haunt season, but I DVR'd it and, you know, sat down and watched.
No spoilers in case somebody hadn't seen it.
No spoilers. But, I mean, as far as I keep up with, I mean, I'm really good friends with RJ. You know, we talk and we do conventions a lot together. And actually, this year, Tommy Peach from season three is part of our makeup crew here.
Oh, really? Excellent. We'll have to talk to him then too, because we love talking to the Face Off people, because they just, you know, everybody just loves watching the show. Your convention season this year, you were out there. You were out there a lot, West Coast, East Coast, North, South, everywhere in between. How was that? What do you think of doing the convention season?
I love doing the convention circuit. You know, it gives me a chance to go out and, you know, meet fans, and, you know, and we actually do workshops at them too. So it gives us a chance to be educators and teachers and show people, you know, how we do the stuff on the show that they don't get to see. You know, all the little small steps. You know, we do that. We do demos, you know, and just all kind of things. So I really like the con circuit.
So you'll continue to do that?
As long as they'll have me and people want to come out and see me, yeah, I'll definitely do it.
So, but yeah, we mentioned before the show, you're pretty much done for the year as far as no more conventions on the immediate horizon and no more workshops and things?
Yeah, for the rest of this year, yeah, I'm pretty much done. You know, there's always, you know, there's a lot of TV and film shooting here in Atlanta, so I mean, I'm sure something's going to pop up. But yeah, as far as like the cons, they're pretty much done for the year, I think.
Okay. You ever work with The Walking Dead being filmed just down the road?
You know what? I have not. Actually, I got...
Ironic?
Yeah. Whenever they filmed the first season, I got a call to come out and, you know, do some background zombies, and it was the weekend I was getting married. And so I had to make that choice, and, you know...
You probably chose correctly.
Yeah, probably did. You know, but I haven't heard back from them since. And I mean, I got several friends that work on it, you know, and they've said, you know, we'll get you on set. And it's like, honestly, though, there's so many other things shooting around here. You know, I mean, we have, you know, Constantine shooting. We have Power shooting. We do Teen Wolf 2, or Teen Wolf here. Vampire Diaries, the originals. There's just so many things here shooting that are, you know, horror-related. You know, so it's, you know, there's plenty of work around here besides The Walking Dead. Walking Dead ain't the only thing in town.
No, that's true. But it is the most popular show on cable. So, you know, there's only one number one at this point, and that happens to be it at the moment. So, anyway, for anybody interested in maybe having your services at their convention or following where you might be appearing in 2015, and, of course, more information on, you know, the makeup at Netherworld and all that stuff, you have a website, you have social media and all that. How can people follow you, get in touch with you, and find out all things Roy Woolley?
All of my makeup and all of my... Sorry, I got
it's late in the season, and yeah, everybody's been busy, and everyone's so tired.
They are, yeah. All of my social media sites are connected to RoyWooleyFX.com. That's the website. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Verified on Twitter. Everybody wants that blue check.
Yeah.
Excellent. Roy, it's great to see you again. Thank you again for taking a few minutes to go to your extremely busy schedule to come talk to us here on The Big Scary Show down in Atlanta, Georgia at Netherworld. My name is Drew Badger, and we are out. Gentlemen, welcome back to the Big Scary Show, and of course, that music means one and only one thing. It's time for the Round Table of Terror. Now, of course, you know, we're kind of bittersweet right now. The Halloween season is over. Let's all take just a moment of silence to kind of put the final lid in the coffin for the 2014 season. We got that over. We thought we'd bring in the hosts and a couple of special correspondents and kind of talk about how their Halloween season 2014 went. I know they all visited tons and tons of haunts, worked it a bunch, had a lot of good stories, hopefully. So we brought everybody together, including Storm.
Greetings. I had lobster for dinner.
Nice. Must be that bonus. The Unknown Scare Actor.
I'm decompressing after a wonderful season.
The Haunstrumentalist, Jerry Vane.
I have had a total of 8 hours of sleep since last Wednesday.
Oh, that much, wow. And a couple of our special correspondents, including Wicked Wendy.
Hey guys, I'm kind of recuperating from this season. I might be ready by next season.
Excellent. And our latest
special correspondent Eric Weister. How are you?
Greetings, mortals.
So, gentlemen and ladies, I say that only because Jerry wears so much makeup. How was your Halloween? How was your Halloween 2014 season?
When do you go first?
Oh, mine was pretty good. I spent most of my season up at the Scaratorium, up there in the makeup room, and a couple of Zone Captain days. And then I got to visit the Indy Screen Park with my lovely acting troupe, and we had an awesome time up there. It's an awesome place, and did a few other small things around here and wore myself out and thoroughly enjoyed myself and can't wait till next year.
How was the Scaratorium? You know, it was part of the MHC Friday night tour, so we got to see it with a bunch of, shall we say, out-of-town actors and stuff. But how was it with the regulars and in full season?
It was actually pretty good. We had most nights everybody was there, had a full schedule, and had a couple record-breaking nights, and it was nice. So we had a good time. Always a good time with all those up there. They put their whole heart and soul into it, so it's always fun. They just love to haunt and love to scare people, and really not even Nina and Kelly are really in it for the money. They just love what they do.
Chance you'll be back next year?
Absolutely. I do plan on doing a little bit more traveling, though. I do enjoy that aspect of it. It's a little fun to see what everybody else is doing and travel with the group that I'm with, because they're a lot of fun. It just gives you a good view of what's going on around, you know, different haunts. So I do enjoy that aspect a lot.
Speaking of traveling, Jim, I know you have just, you know, put the frequent flyer miles to shame this season.
You know, this season has been an absolute joy for me. The Mobile Actors United Legion, MAL for short, has just really exceeded my expectations. And this year was more than I could have hoped for. The opportunity to travel. I wish I could say the frequent flyer miles were for longer distances, but you know what? It's our first year. I'm thrilled with what we did. We went to places like Screamakers Court. We were at Scaratorium, some of us one night, a couple of us a couple of nights. We were at Backwoods Oddities in Eastern Ohio. We spent 3 weekends at the Indy Scream Park. Oh my gosh, what an amazing haunt. More people don't know about this haunt, they need to. Because it's got 5 haunts, the detailing is amazing, their actors are on par with many, many of the top names that everybody's familiar with, and maybe sometimes even a little bit better than some of them. And, you know, we wound up the season at Screamakers again. We did Dungeons of Delhi down in southwestern Ohio. Those guys there put on an amazing charity haunt. I mean, and their budget is next to nothing. And what they do with it is great. And they've been around for 20-plus years, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, we've done a little bit of traveling around the tri-state area. And it has just been, I could gush on and on about it. Everybody in the group was wonderful. It gave everybody the opportunity to learn new things, and some of the actors had never worked a queue line, and some of them took to it like a fish does to water. Just fabulous all the way around.
Excellent. Are you getting any repeat business for 2015, or are you looking to expand into other states and other haunts?
I'm looking to do both, actually. I spoke with the owner at Indy Scream Park on our last night there, which was the weekend before Halloween, and I said, well, I mentioned to him, I said, I hope we can do business in the future, and he says, well, you give me a call, and this is what blew my mind. He said, give me about 3 weeks, and we'll talk again. Not 3 months, not 6 months, 3 weeks. He says, I like to get my ducks in a row early, so let's talk soon.
Very nice.
We exceeded his expectations, and their biggest problem was, I mean, they've got a lot of actors, but they're all in the haunts. And people were complaining about the long wait it is to get into the first 3 haunts, and that's why MAL was hired, and he got almost no complaints about the long wait because of my troupe of actors entertaining everybody in the midway and in the queue lines.
How fun was that?
It was just, and everybody got to do multiple characters. We did a gender bender night, as you've seen some of my pictures on Facebook. It was just wow. And, you know, next year is going to be even better because we're still going to be traveling, and I've got some bigger plans in the works that will be made public as time permits. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited all the way around for next year. It's going to be a banner year.
Wow. Storm, how was Trails to Terror this year?
Not too bad this year. Fun year. A lot more competition in the area. Even older competition trying out something new with a paintball attraction. And, you know, there's proof on that one. If you're going to do it right. Because people will show up, but they might be not be happy when they leave. So that and a couple of, you know, rainy, chilly nights. Our Saturdays were good. I think we lost one Saturday to rain this season. But a little lower attendance Fridays and Sundays. So overall, attendance was a little low. Halloween night, yeah, we're not doing that again. It was abysmal for attendance. We had a little showers and stuff in the area. But, you know, the people who came out had a good time, but you also had your higher percentage of drunks and troublemakers.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, Halloween for the Haunt, I don't know if it was the Friday, because I'd seen the trend really changing over the years in the industry. I just don't know if that's translated here in New England. And with Friday, and, you know, who's going to come to the Haunt when every club in the area, every bar is having a cash prize Halloween contest? So, you know, that's really something to look at your market and go with. And I got some plans in the works to maybe address that, but we probably won't run Halloween night definitely in the coming future. But good season. You know, we'd like the attendance to be a little higher, a little tad higher, but, you know, between a couple nights of rain and, you know, the additional haunts that opened up, I mean, Rhode Island's the smallest state, so there's only so many haunts we can fit in here. But good season overall.
Excellent. Speaking of Halloween itself, anybody in your brand new neighborhood trick-or-treating, or is there a lot of kids in that area?
You know, I don't know, because we're at the haunt, so we did do a bucket and left out a sign. Now, my grandmother, you know, her birthday's on Halloween, so we never really were at the house to do trick-or-treat. So we always did the, you know, the bucket and the sign, and hey, you know, take some candy and, you know, sharing stuff. And it'd always be empty, and it's probably the first kid who dumped it in. And, you know, we'd find, you know, the tray or the bucket in a bush or something. So, you know, we got a good-sized candy, got a trick-or-treat pail for a dollar because I didn't want anything good out there, mm-hmm. and left it with a sign, hey, please, you know, enjoy some candy, leave some for next trick-or-treaters. We came back, there's a little bit left. There's a couple handfuls of candy left. Now, no eggs, no toilet paper all over the place. I was able to get the jack-o'-lanterns in the window before we had to head down to the haunt. Little kid across the street, he's like waving from the window, so I think he liked the jack-o'-lanterns and a couple of things I was able to do with my lawn. But no, it seems like a good neighborhood.
And especially if you're not open next year, you might be having to deal with all the little nocturnal visitors.
Oh, they'll be dealing with me.
Oh, boy. Will the squid hat be making an appearance?
No, that's for work. And they're like, oh, Storm, why didn't you wear anything scary? And I showed them my outfit at Trails and for the queue line. And they're like, oh, yes, thank you for leaving that out.
Nice. Eric, I hear you were working at one of my old haunts that I've done business with in the past.
Yes, we spent our first year actually acting professionally over at the Springboro Haunted Hayride in Black Bog. We're old friends with one of the not the owner so much, we know him by passing, but a gentleman by the name of Mark Meter, who we've known for years, and basically called us out of the blue, going, you want a job? I'm like, we've never done this before. Trust me, you'll be great. Okay. That was about how it wrapped up. We did a lot of traveling this year, up to the Akron Haunted School and Lab, down to Louisville, Kentucky, and both for the Devil's Attic, and we did, I did pieces for them both on the blog. If you saw, our haunt was pretty successful, or I should say our display. I don't like to call it a haunt. And after that last night, we went and saw, for the last time, a 30-year legend closed out here in Middletown, Ohio. It's called the Chamber of Horrors. Last night was their final night after 30 years of business.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, they're very good. They're very 70s, 80s flavored. No, you know, no tricks. It's the, all the old trap doors, black lights, strobes, and everything, and very character-driven. And I spoke with the owner, and just basically they want to go more into, like, consulting and things of that nature because there's such competition out in this neck of the woods, the Dayton, Cincinnati area. There's like 200 haunts, and they just can't keep up.
Interesting.
Which is sad. But irregardless, it was an enjoyable weekend. I mean, if you saw the photographs, our God kids came into town, and they went and acted with us at the Hayride and Bog as well. And they were natural, which is really funny because they never had any experience themselves. But besides that, a very enjoyable season. A little off-kilter. We didn't travel as much as we wanted to. But then again, when you're acting, it will eat up some of your time.
Sure. What were some of you guys and ladies' favorite attractions that you saw that you didn't work at if you got a chance to go out and check out some new things?
Well, I would have to say, I take that back. Every haunt that I worked at this season was, one that I attended, and the only time I went to a haunt where I didn't work was the Dent Schoolhouse, and, Dent is Dent, it's kind of hard for me to be objective. Other than that, every other haunt I worked, so, with the exception of the Haunted Hoochie, which I've seen before, always a good show. I was there last night, stayed in line way too long. Again, they put on a quality show. It shocks people because, there is touching and the language is uncensored. So it's definitely not for kids.
Don't tell me you forgot about our little trip up to Sandusky.
Oh, of course I haven't forgotten about that.
Well, I mean, you didn't work those.
No, but I consider my season when I started working. Sorry. Cedar Point, wow, blew me away. I was not expecting that, and I was used to King's Island, and what I saw at Cedar Point, Hexed, was an amazing haunt. And I think you'll agree with me on that, Drew.
I will say Hexed was by far the best of the several haunts. We went to Erie Estates and Zombie High.
Right.
And I think there were only four or five haunts there. We went to those three, but Hexed absolutely blew me away. I could spend hours just studying those rooms, the detail in those rooms, the story, the building of the tension.
I agree 100%.
Effects were amazing.
Yeah, and for those, I won't say too much, but the spider was amazing.
Yeah. And, of course, the real reason we went to Cedar Point.
Oh, yeah, of course, Midnight Syndicate, which was just an amazing show. And that's putting it mildly.
I thought you guys went for that Rock and Roll Blizzard roller coaster ride.
Oh, yeah, there was that, too. We had to ride the Mantis before it was retired this year.
Yeah. And we have to remember to tell everybody once again, Gavin Goska is real.
Yeah, we actually, touched his shoulders, so... he does appear to actually be a real person.
And, we can't forget Badger, Ghostly Manor.
I love Ghostly Manor.
Bill and company up there, they were so great and so accommodating. And, we went there on a soft opening. You went there the night before Chris and I did. And they didn't have their full staff, but you wouldn't have guessed it walking through these haunts.
No.
Especially, I mean, the use of darkness just blows my mind in those and what they've got because as Jerry was saying, the Freakling brothers were listening to us, and I try to keep up on my phobias. Well, I mean, Nyctophobia played very much into these haunts. Because the mind is the biggest tool you can use when you're scaring people, especially when they can't see anything.
Absolutely. I'm not a fan of pitch black haunts, but the stuff that they had worked. And yes, it gave me the creeps because I have night vision nowadays. but you know, it worked. And you know, a lot of times in a pitch black haunt, you'll see, you know, exit signs, or you can look up at the ceiling and see the rafters or the top of the building or another part of the haunt. Not here.
No.
The only thing you could see were very, very faint glow in the dark arrows on the floor at various spots, just to so you don't bump your head into the wall. I applaud the Chrisionis for what they do there. And unfortunately, only one of those haunts, I believe, is part of their year-round. And the other four, I believe, are just up for the, Lake Erie Fear Fest, as they call it.
Right.
And, you know, that was stellar. I would certainly love to see them expand on that, because that was just great. You know, they're in competition with Cedar Point, but, you know.
But, you know, one of the things about them is just to get to the ticket line, you've got to go through a mini haunt.
Yeah. I like the teaser. It's a genius bit of marketing. And I saw people who walked out without getting a ticket because they were like, if that's how it's going to be, I can't handle that.
And I think it's absolute marketing genius, because it gives you a taste, and you're either going to want more, or you're going to bail, like you said those people did. And the dragon. I love the dragon.
Oh, yeah. That's why they were part of the MHC tour a few years back, and hopefully they will be again, because that's a very good haunt, and I highly recommend everybody go check them out. But I do want to take a quick time out to pay a couple of bills and to remind everybody you are listening to the Roundtable of Terror, kind of wrapping up Halloween 2014 with all the hosts, a couple of special correspondents. Stick around for these very important messages, and we'll be right back.
It's time to build your undead horde with the best-rated zombie props 2 years in a row. You'll find them at creepycollection.com. Along with the scary creepy clown props, the frozen meat locker props, the deadly doll props, the creepy killer props, and the deadly deal life-size bodies. CreepyCollection.com, the online source for all your pro-haunting and animatronic needs. You'll find Creepy Collection props in many venues, from yard haunts to major screen parks, to movie production and even crime scene investigation. Featuring FearFlex technology, Creepy Collection is taking the static out of static. For your gore and more, that's Creepy Collection at www.creepycollection.com.
And we're back with the Roundtable of Terror, our four co-hosts, couple of special correspondents, Wicked Wendy, Eric Veister, talking Halloween 2014, bittersweet time of the year. The post-Halloween depression is slowly starting to seep in, but we're just kind of reliving some fond memories of 2014. Jerry, how do they do it out in Vegas this year? I know you got out and saw some really amazing stuff.
Well, my season, so to speak, if you could call it that, actually started the beginning of October when I came out to Ohio and shadowed the mall group at the Indy Screen Park. And like Jim said, holy crap. I walked out of there with the rest of them just going, what did I just see? Because I don't, for such a young haunt to be so on point with their set design, their acting, everything about it was just amazing. And it actually, you know, Jim Kinnon was laughing at this. He saw me wander off as soon as we got out of the haunts, specifically the three indoor ones. And you came back and you looked at me and you goes, all you said was, got ideas, huh? And I just nodded my head. I walked out of there. Was it Brickmore Manor? Was that the name of it, Jim?
Brickmore Asylum? Brickmore Asylum.
I walked out of that with a ton of ideas. So I've got like 23 different audio bites already just from that one haunt. But that was a lot of fun. In Vegas, I actually for the first time was able to hit up a large majority of the haunts in Vegas, and there were actually less this year than there have been the last few years. We have the Las Vegas Haunts, which does the Asylum and Hotel Fear, and I hit them up a couple days before Halloween. And I actually went through with Steve Kuntz, and if anybody remembers that name, Steve Kuntz was the gentleman who a few years back did the zombie energy drink.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he is out here in Vegas, and he is the designer for the haunted attraction at Opportunity Village. Now, this is a family-friendly haunt aimed more towards kids, and Opportunity Village is a nonprofit charity that helps intellectually challenging people get some independence, get a job, their own place to live. And so he's working with them now. And I did not get a chance to go down there and look at this year, but I've got an open invite for next year. But he also does their Christmas display as well, which is massive. And that, I mean, a lot of people would get some really great ideas for Christmas things for that. The Vegas haunts, from the ones I spoke to this year, were all attendance was up on everybody this year, with the exception of one.
Okay.
And one of the haunts on the Strip, their attendance wasn't as good as it's been the last few years, and there were some issues, I was told, regarding ticket prices and some of the policies that were in place, and you know, hopefully they'll get that fixed up, you know, and straightened out for next year. The other one that we went to was the Freakling Brothers and the Trilogy of Terror, and we've mentioned them on the news before. Mm-hmm. If anybody's familiar with that name, they are the ones doing here in Vegas the Victim Experience. Now, the Victim Experience is only 5 to 7 slots per night. And they are the last group to go through at the end of the evening, through the gates of hell. Now, I got a chance to go through all three haunts, and you could not say whereas with the haunts, the other two haunts I did it were for LV haunts, their storylines tied together between Hotel Fear and the Asylum. It's a joined together storyline. These ones are completely different. You have Castle Vampire, you have Circus of Horrors, and then the Gates of Hell. And Circus of the best clown haunts I've been through. It's not your typical maze with, you know, the 3D glasses. This wasn't a 3D haunt at all. They had some pretty creepy actors, and Drew, since you're not a big fan of clowns, I don't think you would have liked it.
I remember they get in your face. Of coulrophobia a few years ago.
Yeah.
I'm okay with clowns.
Yeah.
Any of this your circus themed upcoming season?
Actually, yes, it did. I had my digital recorder with me, and definitely I put some ideas down for that. And you know, Castle Vampire, you're straightforward vampire haunt. The interesting thing about both these haunted attractions, Freakin' Brothers and Nelvie Haunts, is they're all trailer haunts. They are not in a building. These are six. Each haunt is six trailers joined together in a circle. And with the Asylum and Hotel Fear, they actually have you come out of the trailer into the courtyard and then back into the trailer again. So they utilize the space in the middle. And one had a vortex tunnel, the other one had a graveyard.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah, so they did, you know, really well done. But you, like, with all five of those haunts, you do not realize you're in an 8x10 trailer.
Yeah.
You know, with all the switchbacks and everything they do in there, it really throws you off, and you feel like you're in a building, you know, like any other regular haunt.
Very cool.
And with the last one I went into was the Gates of Hell, and that is the R-rated extreme haunt that you have to sign. That's 18 and over. You have to sign a waiver before you can go in, and there are reasons for it. And they have a safety word. And I stood there in line and watched a 250-pound guy who looked like he could be a linebacker come out yelling the safety word. And I am not BSing on this. I stood there and looked at my friends that were with me and went, okay, I don't know what we're in for on this one. I really didn't. And I looked at the list, and there, you know, if you have heart palpitations, we're a pacemaker, you know, claustrophobic, all this, you know, and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, they said the F word, I think, four times, and they said the C word once. And
only four times?
Four times. I was actually told exactly how many times they're allowed to say it.
Really?
You know,
because I heard it I forgot how many times I heard it at the Hoochie.
Well, that's a Hoochie.
The Hoochie's in a category by itself. Yeah.
Yes. Well, with this one here, the moment you walk in, you're put into a coffin. And if you are claustrophobic in any way, shape, or form, you're SOL. They will, I mean, my friend that came with me almost yelled the safety word the moment she got put in there.
Wow.
Turns out she's claustrophobic and didn't realize it. And we didn't know it. They bring you, you're going through a satanic church and all these other scenes. There was two scenes that actually, and I got a pretty good constitution. It started to unnerve me a lot. And a lot of things don't bother me. You walk into a room that's pitch black, and there you can see there's things hanging from the ceiling. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe they got snakes or something like that. No, these are metal chains hanging from the ceiling. They're all live. You're getting zapped.
Oh.
Ooh. You're getting shocked. I actually have a burn mark on my hand and on my neck where it sat too long.
That's
a little high voltage.
Yeah.
They make the shock panels, which are like, you know, 9-8 volts. But
Now, these are very low. Don't get me wrong. This was just by chance because I was trying to move it. And I just, it's not a burn per se. It's, you know, it's like, it looks like somebody took a red marker and put it down in my hand.
Yeah, but still, even low voltage shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. It's still a burn.
Yeah. And you know what? It says on the disclaimer, you will get shocked, mildly shocked. And I'm the only one in the group that came out with that with a mark on me. Everybody else was fine. So maybe I just burn easily. I don't know.
Or,
yeah, delicate, yes.
The chains were dipped in holy water.
And then another part of the haunt towards the end, when you actually meet Satan, there's a girl standing there, and she's, you know, lining you up to take you in to meet the master. And I could hear this low hum in the room. And you know, they had a great use of ambient noise and everything. And she's wearing these little metal tips on her fingers, and she ran it across your skin, and it's like running your putting your tongue on a 9-volt battery, and you're feeling it all. Everything she touched, that's what you felt. What I found out later is that thing she's charged. She's actually charged up. The current's going right through her into those fingers.
And you're completely.
And so every time she touched somebody, she actually felt it too. And if somebody got a squeal, and my friend Samantha was with us, she was squealing a lot. Oh, she'll just kept messing with you. But again, you signed a waiver saying, hey, you know, this is what, I mean, they specifically said, this is what you're in store for. So it wasn't a fact of going in not knowing. You knew. It's just, you don't, even though you knew, you didn't expect it to be what it was. But walking out, we all looked at each other. I mean, yeah, okay, I had that little burn mark on my hand. And my neck was, you know, tingling. So what? I walked out of there going, holy crap, that was awesome.
Nice.
Oh, come you on, know, and, Jerry. It wasn't holy crap. It was holy shit. Get it right.
Well, I'm being polite. We have a lady in the room. You with you and Wendy here, we have to be polite to the ladies.
But
seriously, it walked out of there. And, yeah, I mean, I saw people yelling. You could hear people yelling the safety word, and I saw a group go in. I kid you not, maybe a minute before us, and bam, the door opens, and there they are coming out again. They didn't even make it into the second room.
Now, well, let me ask you this. I'm sorry if I missed it earlier. What do they charge for this experience?
Okay, for the individual tickets for the other two haunts, I think were $12 a piece.
Yeah.
And I want to say for Gates of Hell, I want to say it was $20. It was $20. And then you could get a package to get all three, and that was $30. And for $40, you got a t-shirt saying I survived the trilogy of terror, you know, and it listed the haunts on it. So it was like $40. and then they did have a package where you could buy I want to say that might have been 50 or more. I don't remember exactly off the top of my head. You could get an all-night pass and go through as many times as you want on all of them.
Excellent.
So cool. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. I mean, and, you know, Vegas haunts, unfortunately, unfortunately, most of them, like I said, are trailer haunts. Right. Even though we've got the property, as we saw what happened with the Goratorium, the only place that has a lot of foot traffic is the Strip. So a lot of these haunts aren't going to make it in a freestanding building because everything changes so much out here. I mean, there are areas where I live on the north side 2 years ago, bustling. Now it's a ghost town. You never know. So, these trailer haunts, it's a matter of finding places that has high visibility and high foot traffic. And in both of these cases, it was parking lots of malls. So, they did it really well. And, for the first year being at the new location for the Freakling guys, they were packed on Halloween night. That's the night I went, was Halloween. And it was, but I went to all five haunts that night, theirs and the other one, and they were just rocking the whole night long. Screams coming out of everywhere. I mean, it was great. And then I ended my Halloween weekend seeing King Diamond last night. So that was beyond mind blowing in itself. So,
well, no voice,
which is why I don't have much of a voice.
Right.
Now, the only other one I didn't make too, besides Fright Dome, was Bonnie Springs. And if that name rings a bell to anybody, they have been featured on Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures. It's actually an actual haunted miner's town. And they do Halloween stuff out there. And the few people I talked to that went to it said it was really great. So that my goal, hopefully next year, is to try to hit that one up.
Very nice.
So, yay.
Sounds like a lot of fun for everyone. Any, I hate to say, low points? Anything that you expected would be really good and just wasn't? You don't have to name names.
I was sad that quite a few major old school long running haunts had to shut down this year. I mean, from what I understand, the House of Shock was their final season as well, as in addition to the one I mentioned earlier, the Chamber of Horrors. There's a lot of that going around lately.
I heard that just the House of Shock's just had a couple of bad years in a row with weather and some flooding and some attendance issues, and plus the fact they've been trying to be shut down by the local authorities for the past 15, 20 years. I think they just said, that's it. With the production that they put together, it's just unbelievable that they can maintain that through more than a couple of bad years.
Yeah.
Now, don't quote me on that. I heard that secondhand from somebody who's kind of in the know.
Like any seasonal thing, there's a lot of work into it, and there does get a point where you get burned out. And even as actors, even as home haunters, any aspect you are in the industry, that's one thing you got to be aware of and watch out for, especially towards the end of the season. It burns you out. I've seen major haunts which are making great money and stuff, but if the people operating it, if there's a breakup in a partnership, if there's a burnout between, some one person burns out and it doesn't go any further, It'll shut down regardless of how successful and how many good pieces are in place. You burn out one of the major gears, being one of the people who's designing or manufacturing, doing your haunt, it can be closed next year. And sometimes you might not even know more than a month or two before. The big one I worked for, I got my industry started with, they decided to close up shop in August.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah.
So other than the haunted house industry, anything good for the season as far as movies? I know last year we talked movies and TV shows that came out. Anything new that you guys saw or wanted to see that blew you away, that you were impressed by? Any new kids programming, anything like that?
I did see, now I just drew a blank on the name. The outer space movie that has got Matthew McConaughey.
Interstellar.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I did see that this morning, and wow. There have been two movies that have really caught my attention so far. That and Dracula Untold.
I
were
saw that.
Just phenomenal.
Oh yeah.
For me to go see a movie twice in 3 days, that tells you something right there. Last time I did that was Batman. So it's been a while. My waistline doesn't appreciate the large popcorn and soda, but hey, whatever.
I don't even want to know what they charge in Vegas for a large popcorn.
I'm thoroughly enjoying the
go ahead.
A small child.
Ah. Yeah, pretty much. It was like $20 including the ticket.
Yeah.
Ew. That's why I don't go to movies anymore. Ooh. American Horror Story.
I'm thoroughly enjoying the American Horror Story. Yeah, I'm really loving that. I look forward to Wednesday nights now. It's a really good show.
It's definitely different than last year's. It is definitely
Yeah, it's a little darker. It's a little more out there.
Yeah.
They're pushing it this year, but I like it.
I think as long as they don't make the mistakes they did with season two and just make it two, what the F is going on here? Season three was just amazing, and season two has really got my. I mean, season two, try again. Season four has really got my attention so far.
I will say that my wife is very absorbed by the Sleepy Hollow, Fox's Sleepy Hollow. She's right now watching seasons, catching up on season two. I was very impressed with The Strain.
That was a good one.
That was very well done. I'd kind of closed up shop just as the Halloween season got rolling. And a little less on the far side of what we do, Gotham is very good. Has certain hormones. And this year's season of Doctor Who has been amazing. Peter Capaldi is an unreal choice for the Doctor.
Very decent. And I'm glad that it's not the teenage pretty boy thing that the last couple have been.
Did you see the episode yesterday?
I have not. I was working at Netherworld last night, so...
Oh, congratulations.
Not able to catch the TV. What have you guys thought about The Walking Dead this season so far?
Holy Moses. I've been really impressed with it. I mean, for the first episode to be that brutal...
Yeah, it was.
No spoilers for anybody that may not have seen it yet. Right.
Don't blow anything.
Yeah, the first guy, you know, as long as they don't do what they normally do and start, you know, I mean, if they've got a good, you know, complement of action and story, I'm good with it. If the story starts dragging out and becoming monotonous, that's when you start going, okay, what else is on tonight?
And then they'll kill everybody in the season finale and everybody will forget about that boring middle.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of what they've done every season.
Pretty close.
You know, if they ever kill off Daryl, we got a problem. And...
There will be a revolt.
I don't have a problem, but about 8 or 9 ladies that we all know will.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right, I agree with that. And you know what?
Say anything, Nez.
Dana, Nez, Laura, Jackie. Oh, did I say it out loud?
Crap. No,
there goes my inside voice.
Say that out loud.
But you know what's funny about Daryl is he's not in the comic book.
Nope.
No, he's not.
Nope.
He's really not in this season per se either. He's kind of in and out, but they're not using him much.
Which means usually when they do that with the character, that means they're going to have something later on that's going to be the majority about him.
Or he's off filming a movie or something. Which very well could be the case.
Or he's hanging out with Deanna and Nez and Laura and Jackie. Yeah.
Let's say more he's trying to escape their basement.
Laura's studio.
Probably down there.
More for the photography.
Very good.
So, guys, anything else to wrap up the 2014 Halloween season? I'll say that since I hadn't said anything yet, I got out to not as many haunts as I normally do. I got out to a bunch. I was impressed by several, and my absolute highlight of the season was not actually going and seeing Midnight Syndicate. I actually took two people to a small haunt that had never been to a haunt before. And I just knew that they were going to scream their entire heads off. Turns out only one of them screamed their heads off the other, and the other just kept laughing at that first person so much that it was just absolutely enjoyable to just watch mercilessly taunting by the actors on these two brand new horror fans, because they say they're going to go back next year to see if they can get through without screaming. But it was absolutely hilarious to watch these two people go through, and every little thing that jumped, every little thing that moved, every little thing that whispered to them, it was just, ah! So Oh, that had to have been my absolute highlight of the 2014 season. I won't mention any names. You know who you are. And a shout out to the guys at Horrorfields in Sawmills, North Carolina, for making that an absolute amazing, amazing night. So, but anything else to let's wind the clock down here a little bit and kind of put the final touches on the 2014 season. I know that pretty much 98% of the haunts are probably closed by the time this airs. IAPA's coming up in the next couple of weeks down in Florida. And then I guess we'll start looking at HauntCon in Baton Rouge at the beginning of February and then kind of counting on down to Transworld.
Yep.
So any major plans between now and the next 4 months until people start making their plans for St. Louis and everything else?
Survive Christmas and not get sick.
Well, I think I'm going to work on the plans that you guys know about, talking to some people, and beyond that, you know, just reorganizing mall and prepping for the next season. And just to clear up something real quick, for those of you listening, Wendy, Wicked Wendy, is one of our makeup artists. Since I didn't say it and she didn't say it, I think I'd just clear that up real quick.
But speaking of, will Maul be doing any kind of recruiting in the off season? Will you be open to having other actors coming in, or will you pretty much keep the people that you have now?
If
somebody leaves, are you going to keep it at a set number?
I don't really have a set number yet, but right now I'm very pleased with the core group of actors, but. With everything that's going on in my life, in my haunt life, I'm going to be doing a casting call sometime in the spring. And, you know, I'm open to, you know, bringing new people on. The group of actors I have right now is absolutely amazing. You know, we did our awards ceremony last night Puerto Vallarta Mexican restaurant in Pataskala before we went to the Haunted Hoochie. And for anybody out there listening that knows Lindsay Wagner, no, not the Bionic Woman, she won our award, our Actor of the Year or Mauler of the Year award. It was a tough decision because really anyone in my group could have won the award. But there was a couple of mitigating factors that put Lindsay up above and gave her the trophy, but everybody, I wish I could have given a trophy to everybody, because that's just how, I mean, even people that have been doing this for only a year or two have embraced what haunting is and made it their own.
Oh, that's so 21st century. Everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah, well, and it's the truth. If you'd have seen my people, and Wendy can attest to this, she saw everybody at least a couple of nights. Everybody was on their game.
They were amazing. I loved it.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah, I do need a little bit of advice from you guys. I have to go into school Monday morning and talk to my daughter's principal. They pulled her out of the hallway on Halloween because she wore half of her costume. No tail, no ears, just a zip-up hoodie, and dressed her down in the hallway in front of all of her classmates and had her blowing her eyes out because it was inappropriate that she wore a costume on Halloween. It's just, I'm pretty much livid about this. It's my 17-year-old.
They did that to your daughter?
I don't know.
Stupid. Is yes. What it is.
And she didn't tell me until she got home, so the principal was already gone. Yeah.
That was asinine. That's just... That's such a violation of just personal civil rights. It's not even funny.
I would write a letter to the local school board asking if there's a policy on this or not. Is there a policy against wearing costumes at this school? And if there's not, then there better be a written and formal and in-person apology by the principal for that.
We went over dress code. I dressed her up. There's no masks and no face paint and anything distracting. All she had on a skirt, a zip. She was Pikachu from Pokemon. But she didn't do the face paint. She didn't wear the tail. And she didn't wear ears. And the principal told her because she was sexualizing herself because she had a short skirt on and stockings, even though the skirt went way past her fingertips, and the stockings were actually long underwear we dyed yellow, so she was completely covered and warm. The principal told her that as soon as she walked away, she was probably just going to hike up the skirt above where it was supposed to be and made her change into sweatpants, and never contacted me one time to tell me that they disciplined my child in school.
Interesting. Oh, you've got a nice little case there. First of all, we're going to
have a conversation.
Yeah, conversation, that's a polite way of putting it.
Yeah, we should probably address that over the off the air here.
Yeah.
But we'll definitely get into this discussion in a little bit. But I do want to say, I want to thank each and every one of the hosts and special correspondents for coming onto the air and talking about the close of the 2014 Halloween season. You know, we're all suffering a little from PhD right now, but hey, Halloween's only 11 short months away. So rather than getting final goodbyes from everybody, let's just wind it down with a small moment of silence. And thank you guys for supporting all your haunted houses in your areas. We hope you'll do it again next year. We want to see each and every one of those haunts coming back, except for the couple that were mentioned that aren't, and maybe a few more will come up. And ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for the rest of the Big Scary Show. Rest in peace, 2014 Halloween season.
Announcing the second annual Haunt X Haunters Retreat, April 30th through May 3rd, 2015, at the Circus Convention Center in Reno, Nevada. With 4 days of classes and workshops and a 2-day trade show, Haunt X is an immersive experience with activities taking place 14 hours a day, including a costume ball, cheesy movie night, a paranormal investigation and pub crawl, scary scavenger hunt, and the soon-to-be legendary hospitality suite. For more information, visit www.hauntx.com. That's hauntx.com. We'll see you in Reno.
The Coffin Caddies. Zombies Ate My Neighbors. On the Big Scary Show.
Zombies ate my neighbors. Zombies ate my neighbors.
were your worst nightmares? What is it that fills you with dread? Do you hear things go bump in the night? Well, it's time. It's time to face your fears.
Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com.
Couture for the creatures of the night.
Greetings, Haunters. The Unknown Scare Actor here. Most of you are probably recovering from your L-tryptophan coma of turkey and dressing. And here we are, the end of November. And what kind of fears could I possibly come up with such a joyous season coming up? Well, I didn't have to do the work. A lot of you haunters did, because there are haunted attractions around the country that are opening up for the Christmas season. They're having Christmas haunts. I've seen names like Happy Horror Days at Scaratorium in Columbus, and Holiday Horrors at my haunt, Screamakers Court in Covington, Kentucky. Other places around the country are opening up to scare you for Christmas, or to scare other people for Christmas. And what could be scarier than Santa Claus? Some kids are terrified of him. I know my little brother screamed like a banshee when he was put on Santa's lap. And now when you look at some of the Santa Clauses you see in these holiday horror haunts, it really does beg to make you think how creepy Santa Claus actually can be. And in a way, he actually falls under the chlorophobia, fear of clowns aspect of any phobias you think about. And of course, it wouldn't be a creepy Christmas without Alan Hoppe's favorite character, the Krampus. The Krampus is slowly but surely making a bigger presence in the U.S. I know several haunts this year are going to have a Krampus featured, and the beauty of it is they can be your own design, because the Krampus was creepy, and we basically know what he looks like. But what he does is, depending on the legend you hear, is anything from kidnap to beat children to eat them. So the Krampus is scary in his own right. So just remember, haunters, Santa may not always be good, and if he looks like he's not, then it's probably Badger.
Always remember one thing, haunters. Everyone is afraid of something.
Do you hear that? The asylum is being overrun. It's time to go to Von Caron Productions and check out the Insane Ensemble. For those troublesome lunatics, they have the commitment coat, a straitjacket designed to keep them restrained. Or, if you're the doctor who likes to experiment, then the psychosurgical coat was made just for you. Go to Von Caron Productions, www.voncaron.com. That's VonCaron, Von Caron Productions. Get there before you too are infected by the madness.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here, live with the Big Scary Show down in Atlanta, Georgia, at Netherworld Haunted House, checking out all the good stuff and watching all the makeup artists do their magic here. And, you know, one thing we love to do here is we love to talk to folks who've been on Face Off. You know, Roy Woolley's been with Netherworld for, God, forever. But he's got another Face Off contestant that seems to be working this year, Mr. Tommy Peach, Season 3. Tommy, how you doing?
I'm doing real well, man. It's been a good season.
How many years have you been here?
This is actually my first haunt and first year down here. I generally stick with television.
And how has working for a haunted house been for you for this year?
Oh well, it's awesome. I didn't have to do the I didn't have to work my way up the haunted house ladder. I got to jump right into the number one haunt in the country, Netherworld, and working here has been fantastic. It's a wonderful family.
It's always fun to come down here. I come down here every year and check everything out. You know, as I said, Roy's been here forever. What would you say is the biggest difference between working a haunted house versus working on TV and things like that?
Biggest difference, definitely budget and speed. The speed here that in which we have to go to perform these makeups is pretty breakneck, even for face-off cats. So that's been an interesting curve to ride because I'm kind of a perfectionist. I get really stuck in the little details.
Oh,
and,
sure.
You know, I've been having to let them go and just to get the work done.
So. You know, with the Season of the Witch being their main theme this year, I assume you've gotten to be pretty good at putting boils and noses and things on people in, 30 seconds or whatever.
Yeah, it's really fun to do the haunt. And the reason I really wanted to do it was because of that, was the repetition of putting on a nose piece or the boils, the prosy transfer boils. It's just been like a little bit of a boot camp for me to keep my skills fresh and keep my skill set. Something to be wanted.
Absolutely. So going back to Face Off Season 3, any really cool stories you can tell?
While we are on the show?
Either or, any fallout from the show, anything like that, scandals.
No, I mean, not too much. We were a pretty docile season after that first episode with Joe. The rest of us, we all became a pretty tight-knit family. After the show, I ended up moving out to L.A. and became really good friends with Alana. We've become like brother and sister. We spend holidays together and stuff, and she's just incredible. But as far as funny stories go, I don't know. Did Roy ever tell you the one about the hot tub?
I can't say he has.
All right. Well, I mean, I don't know if I can really get into all the details.
Oh, no one's listening.
Yeah. It's but there was a night that maybe a case of beer was left out on accident that we weren't supposed to get into.
Of course not.
And perhaps we all just got a little toasted and ended up in the jacuzzi tub. In one of the master bedrooms, if you can imagine Roy Woolley in a wife beater.
Why, look, Roy Woolley's staring at us like, why
and
are you telling this
hat.
Story?
It's pretty fantastic.
And my pants on too.
He had his pants on. Yes, we all had clothes though.
Of course he did.
It wasn't that scandalous. But,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Peach.
Hey, I'm sorry.
we love these little just fun little anecdotes from TV shows.
Yeah. So whenever you guys are done, you can do Drew's makeup.
Oh, sure. No problem.
Oh, excellent. I get to have my makeup done by a famous member of Face Off. Thank you very much. But anyway...
Famous. Infamous, actually.
Infamous. We'll say that. So, Tommy, for people interested in following your career, once Netherworld's over, will you be doing the convention circuit, doing workshops, going back to TV, movies, etc.? How can people follow you, either social media, websites, etc.?
Let's see. What I have coming up, I'll be going to Space City Con in Houston, Texas this winter, which is one of the biggest up-and-coming sci-fi conventions in the country. I've done it for the past 2 years, and every year it just blows me away. The fans out there are fantastic. And I'll be out there. Also, I'll be doing Dragon Con this coming year, and a few more out in L.A. that are yet to be determined. But what I'll be plugging is my new online store. It's called the EffectsWarehouse.com, or EffectsArtistWarehouse.com. That should be launching before Christmas. And what it is, it's kind of like an Etsy for effects artists.
Okay.
It's a place
for like airbrush supplies, makeup supplies,
brushes.
It's
less supplies. It's more commission work, where you go there and you pick your artist, and you can look through their volumes of work, and you can get props commissioned or custom pieces made or buy from their libraries. But it's kind of a way just to unify as many artists as we can, because it is really hard to find commission work online and get a hold back and forth. People, we're very busy. I'm traveling all the time. So we wanted to have like a nice, solid base for the first time on the internet where you can find high-caliber artists to create whatever it is that you're looking for your cosplay or for your film.
Excellent. That website again?
That website again is effectsartistwarehouse.com.
And do you have like a social media, Facebook, Twitter, or anything like that?
Honestly, right now I've always just ran my personal Facebook page it's turned into my fan page now. It's kind of gotten useless as far as personal goes. But you can just look me up at facebook.com/TommyPeach. And there's volumes of work there if you ever want to get a hold of me. I usually respond.
So it's you, not people, handling
No, no, no. It's definitely me. And I've been known to write little novels for people if they're trying to get into effects and they got some questions. I'm a pretty easygoing guy, and I like to help out. So
excellent. Well, Tommy Peach, a pleasure to have you here, making your debut on Face Off or on a Big Scary Show. Hopefully, it won't be the last. Best of luck on your future endeavors. Again, that website for the Etsy for commissioned work, so to speak, is
that'll be the effectsartistwarehouse.com. effectsartistwarehouse.com.
Excellent. Now that is the letters FX, not the word FX.
Correct.
Excellent. FX. Perfect. Once again, this is Drew Badger here live at Netherworld down here in Atlanta, GA, for the Big Scary Show, and we are out.
Ragdolls, beautiful homicide on the Big Scary Show.
Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those video tube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information,
visit www.hauntersdigest.com today.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is A Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright, so it's Black Friday, which, contrary to some internet beliefs, has absolutely nothing to do with heavy metal, satanic rituals, or race, or anything like that. It actually comes across from back in the day, your stores and your retail would see the day after Thanksgiving, beginning of the Christmas shopping season, as a day to get back into the black, where they'd actually start making a profit because of the big shopping season. Things have changed dramatically since then, actually, so it's just a catchy name. So, it was posed to me, hey, Storm, how can haunts get the type of, you know, enthusiasm and people charging into things and wanting to do Black Friday stuff that they do for stores at Black Friday? Well, actually, that's quite easy. Sell something which is in demand, usually electronics or something, at a loss, and only have a couple of them. That's how you could get people at your haunt, which, again, has absolutely nothing to do with your show. However, if you did want to create the same type of, you know, retail door busting, which is a sale now, I don't even understand that, door busters, it makes no sense. But if you think that this is something you want to do for your haunt or something, here's how you do it. You go out, you get some spectacular prop, some big name brand actor, some craziness, you do some incredible scene, which no one else can do, it'll be spectacular. You charge almost nothing for it. $5. You come in and see it. But we're only going to let 20 people do it. We're only doing it once and we're putting it in a box. It's one night, 20 people, $5, and then it goes in a box and you can never see it again. That's how you do Black Friday for a haunt. And there's probably going to be somebody who's going to try that. So, yeah, let us know how that works out for you. So in the meantime, hope everyone is having a safe and happy Thanksgiving. Don't call it Turkey Day. You will insult some people, but, you know, not that we care and stuff, and not everybody has turkey, but until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute, and in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Story.
Hey, this is Josh Gates from Sci-Fi's Destination Truth, encouraging you to check out HauntMinute.com.
In a world of generic one-size masks.
Ugh, this mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait to be scary.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest fears unlimited. Masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
All right, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm gonna scare every night.
DarkestFearsUnlimited.com.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. Von Charon Productions. Von Charon, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios at ScreamlineStudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at HauntMinute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, videos and more, UnknownScareActor.com. The Hauntstrumentalist Jerry Vane. Pick up his newest CD, Bodies in the Bayou, at JerryVane.com.
also available as a digital download on iTunes and all other digital media sites. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more. RabbitBadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@BigScaryShow.com. And keep sending in those news items. News@BigScaryShow.com. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/BigScaryShow. Make sure to follow us on our new Twitter account at The Big Scary Show. We just may occasionally tweet out some information that you won't find anywhere else. Be sure to search for The Big Scary Show on iTunes. And while you're there, please give us a review. We would appreciate it a lot. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is The Big Scary Show.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.